we are very happy to have Cynthia here, Cynthia Rosenzweig, and she's part of this paper. But as you know, Cynthia is also a leader and the founder of ACMAP, and maybe one more thing, Cynthia is with NASA and University of Columbia. So Cynthia.
Thanks. Yes, Sonali sends greetings to everyone. She's in southern India now, participating with the AGMIP teams in South Asia, meeting with their stakeholders from around South Asia, to really get from the stakeholders what questions they're asking for the models for us to run the models. So it's not just us thinking that we know what decisions people want to be making. So I added my name because I did maybe change it a little bit. So, but the base is very much from Sonali and Alex Ruane, who are the co-leaders of the AGMIP climate team. So the climate team in AGMIP has three main areas of focus. One is historical period climate data sets. One is sensitivity of agricultural production to climate changes, similar to, in some ways, to what we just heard from Raymond. I'm going to show some of what AGMIP is doing in that regard. And then, of course, future period climate scenarios. Also, the last statement is very important, too. The AGMIP climate team is dedicated to not be the kind of climate scientist who creates a scenario and throws it over the fence and says, here, you guys go take it and do with it. They love to do collaborative agroclimatic analyses to understand the interaction of the climate phenomena and the agricultural systems so that they can improve the development of the actual climate and climate risk information to be used in the AGMIP studies. So first one is historical climate data. So one of the efforts that the climate team in AGMIP has done is to develop historical gridded climate data. So this is there are two, AGMERA and AGCFSR. They are, for the AGMERA, it's a global database over the land area, resolution 0.25 by 0.25 degrees, and it provides daily temperature, precip, and solar radiation from 1980 to 2015. So climate data sets were developed to do a better job in agricultural regions. They have improved solar radiation. They have improved precipitation variability. They derive fine spatial patterns of rainfall from satellites. They adjust the diurnal temperature range to be more accurate, and they also include relative humidity at Tmax. The goal of these tools is to develop tools so that they can be easily used to create .agmip formatted time series for inputs to the observation phase, the historical validation phase of the modeling efforts. And they also test them with bias correction and gap filling applications. So the two graphs are showing on the left the biases in the Tmax and the Tmin, and it's a little hard to see it because the lines are on top of each other. But both the AGMERA and the AGCFSR does a better job, and it's in the group of the models that are, both of them are in the group that are spiking over the zero biases and are having not very many issues in sites with high temperature biases. On the precipitation correlation side, they also, in particular, it's the bright blue one, which has moved the peak and the shoulder to the higher correlations. So these data sets are indeed doing an improved job for historical gridded climate data. On the then the, another thing that they do with these historical, of course, is to then they're tested with simulations. So what this is showing is correlations between the NAS county level production and with simulations, crop model simulations by PDISSAT, which is the parallelized DISSAT on grids, using the CFSR before these agricultural corrections, and then on the right, the ag CFSR. And indeed, the correlations improve with observations of the simulated yields. And this paper, by the way, is by one of Joshua Elliott's graduate student at Chicago, University of Chicago, and that paper is now in press. Alex just told me that last night. They also test, this is also from work by Michael Glatter, they also test these products to see how good they are at the probability of detecting extreme events. And so the tan bar is showing the fraction of U.S. maize production experiencing one of the five worst years in the NAS data. And then each colored bar is the production from the same counties that is simulated as being one of the worst 5 years. So what this is about is testing to see, well, how well do these new databases do in capturing the extreme events? So in general, they're doing a pretty good job. Like if you look at 1988, they are providing improvements, for example, on the in the drought of 88. On the flooding of the flood of 1993, for example, then they really were not doing as good a job. Which also may be part of the combination of the climate data and the crop modeling, which does the crop models, which don't do a very good job with excess precipitation. Turning to now where Sonali is right now, this is one of the sites that the AgMap South India team does its work in. So what this is a the bars and whiskers are crop model simulations across a set of farms that are used in their regional integrated assessment. And then the blue line is the total rainfall for the growing season. And again, what we're doing here and what the climate team is doing is encouraging comparison of these kinds of analysis with the crop modeling teams in the regions around the world. So for example, looking in 1997, hey, what's up with that? Because there was, a huge amount of precipitation and the crop models were had very low yields. So that was an El Nino year. With excess precipitation, it probably was that same issue of the models not doing, in some ways, a very good job. But maybe they did because there may have been. That's an example of a place where the teams have to go in to analyze, even on a year-by-year basis. Well, what's going on, and why did they get the results that they got? So that's an example of this kind of interaction that the climate team has with the crop modelers. Sonali is an expert on monsoons. She got her PhD at our institute, GIS, with the global climate model and studying the monsoon in the models. And so here we're going beyond just the regular kind of delta T, delta P approach for climate scenarios to ask the questions with the local experts. How do monsoon characteristics affect crop yields? What are the common rules of thumb related to monsoon management? So actually what this graph is showing is the either early or delayed onset of the monsoon using one of the rules of thumb that farmers in that region use, which is a 2 to 3 day period after September 15th with a cumulative precipitation of greater than 25 millimeters. And then how sensitive are model simulations to shifts in monsoon metrics, as opposed to just our looking at just changes in temperature and changes in precipitation. Really, I'm trying to understand dynamically what's going on with the climate, not just with the climate variables. So now we're going to look at, as Raymond said, AgMIP is also doing, the climate team is also doing quite a bit of work through the C3MP project on the impacts response surfaces analysis. And I want to say that this was very much motivated by Tim Carter, a very old and dear colleague of ours, who came by and said, you know, at the very beginning of AgMIP and said, as we're developing the very strong scenario approaches, we should be, let's look at this as well. So it's been a great example of the partnership with European colleagues. So the way AgMIP does it is that it is three dimensions, not just two, the two that Ryman showed. So it's delta T changes from -1 to +8°C, delta P -50 to +50%. And then we there's a third dimension, that's why we're displaying it here with three graphs, but they all have a third dimension of the CO2 concentrations from 330 to 900. Up at the top, if there's the temperature delta T versus delta P, response surface, and these are for peanut yields in Henry County. That's like a proxy for sort of normal climate variability. Down below, this is looking at some of the crucial aspects of climate change with the delta T and the CO2 concentration. This is just, I won't spend long on this one because it's just to say that what's so great about these methods is that then you can take the range coming from the GCMs and like just do the lookup onto the impacts response surfaces instead of going through endless churning of running 29 or 30 scenarios, which we're now up to with 29 GCMs. So I think it's really great that we're all working on developing this methodology as well as the straight use of the GCM scenarios. Now, this is a little bit maybe in contrast to some of what Ryman was showing, because this is in taking cross sections of emulated impacts responsive yield for extreme years across 135 rain-fed maize sites in C3MP. Now, this is over a much larger geographical domain than what Raymond was showing in Europe. But I don't see that much change in the warmest years, the coolest years, the wettest years, and the driest years. It's all pretty similar. But also, these are maize, and you were showing wheat. So there may be some differences there in the crops, but it's just an example, again, of, and I think this is also research questions, there's definitely research questions that we need to get together on about what's going on when you go beyond just looking at all the years to see what happens in the wettest or the driest, for example. Okay, turning to where we are now on the actual GCM scenario approach. First of all, we have a guide because we work with research teams all over the world. It's called the Guide for Running AgMIP Climate Scenario Generation Tools with R, because we are really dedicated in not just doing everything ourselves, but really working with research scientists all around the world to all work together on this. And you'll see because AgMIP is protocol based, all of the protocols for the climate scenarios are all captured here in this guidebook about how to do the delta scenarios, enhanced delta, et cetera. So there's all these tools are available. These are available on the AgMIP website. So. Many groups around the world are constrained and cannot run their crop models with 29 GCM scenarios times whatever, because at the regions, for example, it can be up to anywhere from like 100 to, in some cases, 400 or 500 sites. So they're constrained. So we have to figure out a way to select GCMs to use. And so this is just the method that we're using in phase two of the regional teams, which is identifying the middle, the cool and wet GCM scenarios, the cool and dry, hot, wet, and hot, dry. And this then is, so then what they do is for the region, for any given region, they display the GCM results, downscaled results across the changes in temperature and precipitation, and then they take the median of the temperature and the precipitation. The middle box is one standard deviation in any direction. They see what the average is in each one of the quadrants, and then we select a representative GCM, which is then used for the, for example, cool, wet scenario. Now, also they count up how many GCMs were present in each one of the quadrants, because they're very often in scenario work, the scenarios are weighted by the predominance of the changes that are coming out of the GCM. So, for example, in this one, although it's pretty hard, but hot, dry, and cool, wet are the axes where there are more. So right now, the guidance is to use all of these to test, given clearly the uncertainties still coming out of the GCMs at the regional level. This is the last slide. So maybe a few people in the audience were at the first AgMIP Global Workshop in Long Beach, and there were breakout groups with the climate group there and anyone interested in the climate. And coming out of that, so this is a slide from the Without the Stars, it was what came out of that first meeting 5 years ago. The baseline analysis and intercomparison, climate sensitivity scenarios, and future climate scenarios. So you can, what we're reporting on is really a lot what the plans were from the beginning. In certain things we've put more emphasis on than others. And that the big stars indicate the major initiatives. Some are smaller studies. Some are still in development. But you can see that I think a lot of the things we've actually gone forward with and learned a lot about. In the bottom right are two things that we are adding in now. One is that we've developed in AgMIP a methodology for near-term scenarios. This is so important to actually work with stakeholders from around the world that they're who are very focused on, well, what is happening now, and what are the near-term climate risks. In our new work on the coordinated global and regional assessment, we're going to be having near-term scenarios as well as future climate. And then, as I mentioned, we want to go further with, for the places in the world, the agricultural regions in the world affected by monsoons, to have a monsoon scenario approach, getting away from just this delta T, delta P. And with that, thank you very much. I'll answer the questions as best I can.
Thanks, Cynthia. Any questions for Cynthia?
I think everybody needs a break.
We won't let you go for a break until you ask the question. Any questions? There's one more there.
Right. Yes. Okay. As I understand it, and I'm going to back up to that one. As I understand the question, it was, is there a gridded data set that already includes 2015? What's the most recent? I'm going to look to see if they give the, 2010 is as right now. But I'll take that back to our climate team and say we want it, that we need it to be updated. By the way, I just want to say, as long as I have one more minute, so one of the things that we're also very dedicated to doing is not just choosing, oh, these are the two best or whatever, or as we go forward with that, we test all of, there are basically nine gridded data sets, I think there are nine there, and then we do a lot of tests comparing to observations, but also also you running them through the models and seeing how different they are. Right. Yes. So on the slide, the point there is that the climate team works with the regional researchers to understand what the crop model results are and whether when those are compared to historical observations that there was something happening, let's say a delayed onset of the monsoon, which then would have affected the crop yield. So that's in the analysis part. That's the first part. But the second part is that you may also be asking is, and this is just still very much in idea stage, that it would be possible to have a set of scenarios that says, what if the monsoon fails more frequently? What if the monsoon is much earlier? What is much, much later? And it would be developing a set of scenarios to work to run the crop models with that are really testing a dynamic change as opposed to just the changes in the variables themselves. I'm not sure that answers your question, but at least those are two more thoughts.
Another question was in.
Is this the same question? I think we should take our break and let me think about it. And let's discuss over coffee. Again, this may be coming around the side, but I just want to say that we all, one thing that's great about our climate team is that I'm going to answer on the climate side, not the crop model side, but that our institute is a home of one of the climate models. And so we're also, this idea of having scenarios, looking in to see what it does the GCM show in terms of tendencies for how the monsoon may change. So it would be creating a set of heuristic scenarios that then there could be monsoon, so then you apply a weather generator, decision rules for a weather generator that says onset coming earlier, then what does that happen to the crops? Onset coming later, what happens to the crops?
One more question over here.
Sure.
So what is the geographical cover of this historical data? How do you measure that data for the United States? Not for the data.
Oh, yeah. For the gridded databases, they are all global land. That validation study was done comparing to the U.S. Crop yield data, but the the data is on all global land. That's what we need for AgMov, because we work in all the major, all the crop regions of the world.
Thanks, Cynthia.